there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas, viva.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. Joining me, as always, is the ever-fragrant and alluring Tricia McCrone. Tricia?
Fragrant.
Welcome to the studio.
That's a new one. I love it.
Running out of adjectives.
Yeah, no, we were in a repeat last week. We were off last week. I was in La La Land.
Yes, you were off last week.
Yes.
I was here.
Well,
I was here working.
So anyway, haven't been around. So what have you done, Kat?
Today, which is Thursday, according to our real lifetime, but yesterday, according to when you're listening to this, I went to the news conference that unveiled the name of the new Michael Jackson show that is being put on by Cirque du Soleil at Mandalay Bay. It's called Michael Jackson 1 by Cirque du Soleil. 1. W or O-N-E. Not W-O-N. O-N-E,
that would be like the Wonders.
Like one, like victory, not like that. One. And it is to indicate and remind his fans that he was an all-inclusive entertainer. One being we are all one, in other words.
Is it going to be like the Tree of Life show that we saw like a year and a half ago?
It is not. You're talking about Immortal?
Yes, that was what I was thinking of.
It wasn't the Tree of Life show in Las Vegas because they couldn't fit the tree in the...
Well, that's all I remember is you complaining about that darn tree.
Where's the tree?
Where's the fig? Where's the ficus? Where's any of it?
Donde está the ficus? So. They couldn't fit the tree in Mandalay Bay Event Center. That's right. Oh, geez. It's not going to be that show. It's going to be a Michael Jackson show, but it's not going to be that particular show.
So there will be no dancing gloves?
I feel like there won't be a dancing glove, and I feel like there won't be bubbles.
I'm hoping there won't be bubbles. It was so bothersome. That bubbles thing just really...
He did kind of creep me out.
It was creepy. It was really, really creepy.
So this show opens by the end of the year over at what used to be the Chicago Theater, and then later Mamma Mia, and then later the Lion King Theater, Mandalay Bay Theater.
I had a Jackson connection last week. I had a meeting in LaToya Jackson's offices, which are gorgeous in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
So
we should have started with that.
It was a Jackson.
That's more interesting than anything I've been doing.
It was a Jackson host chat. Yes.
I'm moonwalking now.
Who has, by the way, LaToya has a show premiering on Oprah's network.
Oh, really?
I got
really?
To see the first episode. It's going to be very good. Tackles a lot of things.
We'll have to revisit this in host chat. All this is very interesting.
Yes. Well, but I'm so excited about our guest today because these visits that he makes to us in studio are some of my favorites.
Yes. He is Josh Bell of Josh Bell Hates Everything, a regular contributor to Cats with a Dish, and he is our guest this week. So stick around because I know we will.
Viva!
Hi, this is Brad Garrett, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a regular contributor to Cats with the Dish. He usually has a segment of reviews that slips into our regular broadcast, but he's sitting in the studio now. He's one of my favorite journalists in all of Las Vegas. Josh Bell, who's the author of Josh Bell Hates Everything, and he's here to talk about the Academy Awards. Thanks for coming on back, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Always fun to be here.
I love when Josh comes on.
Dish loves when you're here.
I know, because it's like I am obsessed with movies and television.
She's
it
obsessed.
Literally is my life.
Yes.
And I should have gone into your vocation. But alas,
wow.
Here
there's
I am.
Still
we should
time.
Interview you.
So
you
alas,
can do this forever.
Here I am. But it's like I love debating these things with you.
Okay.
They're usually fairly good debates. So let's talk Oscars. First of all, we have to start with the big one.
Okay.
We have to start with obviously Best Picture. Why are there 9 nominees?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, what's going on with that? What's up with
that,
Well,
a few years
Josh?
Ago, they decided to expand the field. It was 5 for a long time. Way, way, way back when the Oscars first started, actually, there were 10 nominees each year. But that was discontinued a long, long time ago. And a few years ago, I'm not sure exactly when it was, but a few years ago, they decided to expand it to 10.
Yeah.
And that only lasted like a year or two. And now the idea is that there can be up to 10 nominees, between 5 and 10, but each movie to be nominated has to reach a certain voting threshold from the Academy to nominate it. So if 10 don't reach that threshold, then they only nominate fewer than 10. So that's the idea.
Thank Thank you for answering that question.
But they don't go any more than 10, regardless of the threshold.
No more than 10, and no fewer than 5.
So basically, 10 did not get the threshold of
votes. Exactly. Okay. Only 9 right. reached whatever threshold it is this year.
Well, I mean, and this year is weird because it seems like in past years, there are always categories where it's a slam dunk. And a lot of them, it is best picture. Like, you kind of know who's going to win. It's between one or two pictures. But this is kind of a interesting field that, I mean, you have movies that have gotten so much buzz, like Silver Linings Playbook. At the end, you have Lincoln. You have Argo, which is might get a lot of support because of Ben Affleck getting snubbed in director's category. I mean, that kind of a thing. And then out of nowhere, I did not see Beast.
Oh, Beast of the Southern Wild, yeah.
But I hear it's incredible.
I wasn't really a fan of it, honestly.
Okay,
but
well,
it's
then
certainly...
maybe I wouldn't like it either, because I got to tell you, I'm not interested in the topic. But I hear it's incredible.
I mean, it's certainly a very different kind of film than most of what else is nominated here. So I, if nothing else, I appreciate that. The Academy being a little more adventurous. That, along with Amour, the French film, which is definitely, again, a different kind of movie.
Oh, that's the one that... Didn't you make that number one on your list?
No, I did not.
What was your number one when you said this summer that you left?
My top pick for the year was Sound of My Voice, which
is I thought it was Amour. Okay.
No, it's a small budget science fiction-y kind of movie, which I loved, but is not definitely not nominated for any Academy Awards.
Okay, so who do you think is going to win?
Well, I mean, I think honestly, I really don't think it's wide open. I think it's pretty much down to Argo and Lincoln. And a month ago or so, I might have said Lincoln, absolutely. But at this point, Argo has won so many of these early awards, and so many of these Oscar pundits who spend their time doing nothing but crunching numbers and predicting this stuff have really come over to that side. So I would say Argo is likely to win. It's possible it could end up still being Lincoln, but Argo seems like the one to beat at this point.
If you are voting...
Yeah.
What are you voting for?
Well, I would vote for Argo, honestly. I mean, it wasn't my number one movie of the year, obviously, but among these movies that are nominated, it was the one that I liked the most. So I would be happy to see it win. And it definitely is the kind of movie that wins Academy Awards. I mean, it's based on a true story. It's very inspirational and rousing. And of course, it portrays Hollywood in a very positive light, which people in Hollywood always like.
Heroic Hollywood.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hollywood saved his
yes.
lives.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I think it's a great movie. That's not to belittle
yes,
it. I think it's extremely entertaining. It's very well crafted. I think Ben Affleck is an excellent director, and he does a great job of balancing the genuine suspense with some political commentary without making it heavy-handed, and I liked it a lot, so I'd be happy to see it win.
The one complaint, or one of the two complaints, chief complaints I've heard about Lincoln, and it is shared by Argo, is it's not factually on
well, I
the
think
mark
Lincoln is a lot more factual than Argo.
Than Argo
honestly.
Is, but it has still been some of the voting that took place. It's kind of detracted from the movie itself. So there have been some sitting members of Congress who have said that
right.
their state voted a different way.
Right, right.
And also that Lincoln feels long. It feels a little lengthy. Did you find that
little,
to be the case?
A little.
It was a little ponderous.
I felt it was a little lengthy, but I didn't know what could be taken out. Isn't that weird? Like, I went back, I was like, well, what would be taken out?
Well, the thing with Lincoln is what I liked about Lincoln was the way that it was so focused, it wasn't trying to take in his entire life. It was focused on this
exactly.
one particular thing, this process of getting this amendment approved. So to me, even though obviously Lincoln's assassination is extremely famous,
I kind of wanted to see it.
I would have been happy.
You could have cut it.
To end the movie before that, because it felt like they kind of tacked on this extra story because everyone knows that it's coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was necessary. So I would have cut those last maybe 15 or 20 minutes or whatever it is when you get past what the main story is really about.
Well, see, I would have actually liked that more because I felt like the way that they quickly did the assassination and stuff, when you don't get to see the assassination, I'm like, if you're going to do the assassination, talk about this, show
right,
the assassination.
Right, they didn't spend the time on it that
it's
it would have deserved.
It's Steven Spielberg. We could have shot it. You know,
right.
Not to make a pun, they should have shot it. But
you should have treated it in a Quentin Tarantino way, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have easily made a whole movie.
Add like a dozen shooters.
Yes.
Get Jamie Foxx
another historical revisionist yeah. Piece from Quentin Tarantino.
We took some license
yes.
with the assassins.
Exactly.
Yes,
yes,
yes. Well, do you think, okay, because I really enjoyed Zero Dark Thirty.
I did too,
I thought it was an incredible movie. Do
yes.
you think that both Catherine Bigelow and the movie may have gotten a little bit of a bum rap because people were so upset about the use of violence and the use of... what am I saying? Torture. That's the word I'm looking for. Interrogation.
Like yes,
the
enhanced various, interrogation techniques is what,
Yeah, mm-hmm. So do you think that there was such a backlash about that hurt Catherine Bigelow and hurt the film?
I think it does, not necessarily because I agree or disagree with the backlash, but I think for the Academy, which is an inherently conservative, and not conservative politically, but just risk-averse organization, is full of a lot of older people, that anything that smells of controversy, I think, is something that they're going to shy away from. Whether the controversy ultimately is warranted or not, I think the Academy Awards, what they want it to be, is this big celebratory night about Hollywood and how awesome Hollywood is and how great movies are, and they don't want this political controversy to intrude too much. I mean, that's not to say it doesn't. I mean, obviously, Michael Moore has won awards and things mm-hmm. like that. But for something like Best Picture or Best Director, I do think that hurts it a bit. I mean, I think there's probably other people within the voting body where it helps, actually, where they say, let's honor this movie that's taking a risk or taking a political stance. But I think overall, it probably does hurt, and they'd rather award something like Argo, which, again, is more crowd-pleasing, is mm-hmm. all about how great Hollywood is, has a wonderful happy ending, all of that kind of stuff.
And to me, I I'm going to be political here about the whole thing, and I mean, not that I'm saying that torture is okay, but the fact, if we use torture to get Bin Laden, I'm okay with that, considering they have put our people and chopped off their heads in front of, you know, cameras and things like that. That if they're going to depict, if that's what happened, if torture was used, then I feel like that's part of the story to get to that helped in aiding in us getting Bin Laden. It's part of the story.
Right. And I think, to me, the thing about that movie is that whether you think those techniques are okay or not okay, I don't think the movie is taking a stance. The movie is very, very, it's a procedural, you know, it's very non-judgmental, I guess, is what I would say about it.
Wasn't the question whether they were taken, whether those methods were used? That was the question.
The question wasn't whether those methods were used. The question, I think, primarily is whether using those methods led to the information that was used to get Bin Laden. And I think the argument from the critics of this movie is that in the way the movie depicts it, it seems like using these techniques led them to information mm-hmm. that led them to Bin Laden, and they say that that's not true. And I don't think that's exactly what the movie really depicts.
No, yeah.
But I mean, I can understand the argument being made. I think also it is a narrative. It may not be as fictionalized as Argo or Lincoln, but it still isn't a documentary. And they need to tell a story. They need to keep the audience's interest. They need to construct something from point A to point B. And to take some liberties dramatically is just that's just what happens. So, I mean, I like the movie a lot. I'm fine with it. I would be happy to see it win, even. I don't think that it will.
Yeah.
But
I was definitely intrigued and moved by it. But I did enjoy Argo more. But I mean, I was, from the moment it starts to the moment it ended, I was
yeah, good. It's definitely fascinating.
Since we kind of touched on it, let's jump to director. Now, of course, we talked about Ben Affleck not getting nominated, which was a huge shock. Also, Hopper, right? For Les Mis.
Yes.
I have to say, okay, I'm a huge Les Mis fan. I've said it out there. I know everyone's not, but I loved Les Mis. And that was a huge undertaking. Absolutely huge.
Which he totally did not do a good job with.
I thought it was fantastic!
I wasn't a fan of Les Mis, but the thing is about this, the fact we're talking about, why are there 9 nominees for Best Picture? One of the sort of byproducts of there being more nominees for Best Picture is that there are not more nominees in other categories, so all these movies that get nominated for Best Picture, like Les Mis, for example, don't always get the chance to have their other elements nominated, the acting or the directing or the screenwriting or whatever. So we only have 5 nominees for Best Director, all of which are people who worked on Best Picture nominees, but not all the Best Picture nominees are able to be nominated. So I'm happy not to see Tom Hooper nominated. I think Catherine Bigelow and Ben Affleck would deserve to be nominated, especially over Ben Zeitlin from Beasts of the Southern Wild, which, like I said, I wasn't really a fan of. Or even Ang Lee, who I think is talented, but I wasn't really enamored of Life of Pi either. So yeah, I would rather see those other two. And it's interesting because Argo, I think if it will win Best Picture, it's rare that then Best Director goes to something else, but that's going to have to be the case. And I think Steven Spielberg is probably going to take it for Lincoln. I think that's the likely outcome here.
So let's move on to Best Actor, which is kind of not going to be a close race. I think it's pretty much already been decided.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's unlikely that anyone other than Daniel Day-Lewis is going to win this. And I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is pretty much, every time he is in a movie, it's an event at this point.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. very selective about what he does. He's not really part of Hollywood. I think he lives in Europe, and at one point he was going to retire to become a cobbler or something like that. And he's done very...
He'd be great at it.
He's made very few movies.
Exactly.
And he's very, very, very dedicated to his craft in a sort of slightly insane, over-the-top way. I mean, I think he's a great actor.
Yes.
And I don't know if anybody else could have gotten away with the voice inflection that he used in Lincoln,
yes,
other than Daniel Day-Lewis,
yes,
to go there, because there's no recorded vocal
and
history of
And that was just
of
kind
Abraham.
Of his idea
yeah,
of what Lincoln should sound like.
He had researched his, you know, accounts of his speeches and came up with this particular voice.
Right.
I don't know many actors who would have gone in that direction and been able to pull it off. And
yeah,
it made sense in the movie,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, he was,
but,
especially knowing his thick accent and everything
oh, yeah,
that he really has. And, you know, and it's kind of like that joke that they did at the Golden Globes, and they're like, Meryl Streep has the flu, and I heard she's incredible in it.
Right.
That
yeah,
type of thing. Like, whatever mm-hmm, he does is pretty amazing. But again, as much as I think he deserved it, I thought that Hugh Jackman was incredible in Les Mis, and I also really, really enjoyed Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I'm not really a fan of Bradley Cooper in general. I think he's kind of a smarmy presence, but I love Silver Linings Playbook, and I did think he was very good. I mean, I think Jennifer Lawrence is clearly the best thing in that movie, but I thought he was good as well. I mean, again, it's extremely unlikely that anyone else is going to
yeah,
win this award, and I would be happy for Daniel Day-Lewis to win. But yeah, it would be nice to see Bradley Cooper win as well for that movie.
And you're
Hugh
not
Jackman,
mentioning Hugh Jackman.
No way. No.
Oh, he's
I mean,
so good.
It's that whole movie is so misguided. I feel like it so does not convey what it should convey, and he's part of that. Although he's not as bad as Russell Crowe.
Okay, first of all, no, I'm sorry. Russell Crowe, yes, but the one that annoyed me the most was Amanda, and I know I always say her name right.
Oh, Amanda Seyfried?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, ah! Like, I love the idea that they told people that they actually had them act it instead of recording it in advance, which I thought was genius.
Yeah, yeah, but it didn't work out at all.
It worked out. It worked out in Anne Hathaway.
Because they didn't hire
Hugh
people
Jackman
who could sing well
and
enough.
Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman's realm. I think it did in a couple. I enjoyed Eddie Raymond, Edward Business,
oh, Redmayne.
Ed Redmayne or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed him, but Amanda, but then I was like, oh, please stop. But I'm just going to say,
my
I love
glasses
Hugh Jackman.
Just broke.
Yeah.
Yes, I love Hugh
yeah,
Jackman. Okay, so Daniel Day-Lewis is going to get that. Now, moving on to actress.
Best actress, yes. I mean, and I think I just mentioned Jennifer Lawrence. From Silver Linings Playbook, and I think she is definitely the one who's going to win this. And I that, to me, is a perfect choice. I think she's amazing in that movie. I think she's an incredibly talented actress. So that's really awesome. I thought Jessica Chastain was great in Zero Dark Thirty as well. But I definitely think Jennifer Lawrence is going to win.
And
here,
you think she deserves to win over
I really
Jessica
do. Chastain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really do. I mean, again, those are both really, really strong performances,
yeah,
I think. And they're both really, really talented actresses. I mean, who are sort of the best, you know, younger actresses who
yes,
are working right now. But yeah, I think Jennifer Lawrence is the best in this category and the others. I was reading online the other day, some of these pundits who are saying Emmanuel Riva from Amour is going to sort of be the upset and surprise and win this award.
I heard that same thing.
I mean, you know, surprises do happen.
Yeah.
But I just think that's unlikely. I mean, it's interesting, trivia-wise, this category features the oldest and the youngest people ever nominated for Best Actress. Emmanuelle Riva, the oldest, she's, I think, 85 or 86,
wow,
something like that. And Quvenzhané Wallace from Beasts of the Southern Wild, who now is, I think, 9, but was 6 when they shot the movie.
Wow. That's
so
incredible, though. Could you imagine 6 years? You know, I always think back to I can't think of her name from True Blood.
Anna Paquin, right.
Yes, when she got
oh,
up
God,
there, and it was
yeah,
like, she was like, huh, huh. And then all of a sudden, this like 50-year-old British voice came out, whatever her accent is, came out of this little girl's mouth. But it was just such a strange thing to see her up there to do it. So she has no chance, that little girl, though, right?
I really don't think so. And to me, whether you like the movie or not, she's not even really acting in that movie. I mean, the director has said she didn't really understand what they were doing. And in order to get her performance, they just kind of had her react naturally to things that would get them to what they wanted to happen. So, I mean, again, even if you like the movie, even if you're impressed with the final result, her agency in it is not so much as an actress. It's almost like they're just documenting her.
It's more
yeah,
of a
so,
directorial.
Yeah, it's
success,
you,
right?
You want to credit him.
Could
yeah,
she even read at that time?
I know, and I'm sure they didn't give her the script
yeah,
or give her lines or anything like that in particular. So,
do you think it's Jennifer Lawrence?
I definitely think it's Jennifer
which
Lawrence.
I thought she was. Silver Linings Playbook, I know that some people didn't like it. I found it so profound and I enjoyed it so much. I just thought it was just an excellent, the acting was excellent, the story was excellent. And it really, you know, it was, people were just like, what's it about, crazy people? I'm like, no, you really got to see it. I mean, it was a great movie. One of my favorites of the year.
No, I loved it too. It was one of my favorites as well this year.
So supporting actresses kind of like might as well not have nominated anybody else, right? That's like the one category that is a slam dunk.
Yes, it's definitely a slam. I mean, I think like best actor, like leading actor. And I'm sure you're happy that this is a slam dunk for Anne Hathaway.
You know what I gotta say? I love that it's Les Mis, but I can't stand her acceptance speeches.
You know, I try to avoid...
There's something off-putting about her,
yeah, like,
I have to say, about Anne Hathaway.
She annoys me. Like, I almost don't want... Like, I think she's acting all the time. Yeah.
In some capacity.
All of these people are acting all the time.
She seems like she's very, very aggressively acting all the time. I will tell you that our friend Johnny Avello, he does the odds. This is the shortest odds for a favorite on the field is Anne Hathaway to win that award, 1-7.
Right.
If she doesn't win it, it's going to be, there will be an inquiry.
It would be. Yeah, it would be amazing. And I think, honestly, this is a really weak category. And I like Anne Hathaway in general. I didn't like her in that movie. But I don't think any of these other performances really are award-worthy either in this category. You've got Amy Adams from The Master, Sally Field in Lincoln, Helen Hunt in The Sessions, and Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook. And as I said, I love Silver Linings Playbook, and I think Jackie Weaver is an excellent actress, but that part is so insubstantial, it seems strange to nominate it for an award.
And Sally Field, I thought, was just wasted in Lincoln.
She was, and I thought she was overdoing it when they had her on and with her hysterics and everything.
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
So I want her to be a little bit more crazy. Because really? You hear about how absolutely crazy she was, that I wanted her to, like, you know.
Oh, Mary Todd Lincoln?
Stab people or something. Like, I just expected
her to.
Well,
I don't think she's.
Something.
Talking about historical inaccuracy. I'm pretty sure she didn't stab anyone.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, no, but you just know.
You could have written her in
as an accomplice
in the assassination.
She actually seemed incredibly together and bright. You know what I mean? And whereas, which she probably was. You know what I mean? But in terms of history, how we have come to know her, I expected her to be. Whack-a-doodle-doo.
I want to see you do a stage play of an adaptation.
A one-woman show of this?
Yeah. Of everybody in Lincoln, and they're all insane. And everybody voted against him and then changed their mind when they had guns to their heads.
We rename it Ford Theater Rules.
Exactly. Oh, God. So the supporting actor is tough. Like, I don't even... Like, it's like... I think that's one of the biggest toss-ups, isn't it?
Yeah, I really do think so as well. And I don't know. If I had to make a choice... I would pick Tommy Lee Jones from Lincoln.
He was brilliant.
In terms of my favorite among these, as well as who I think is probably going to win. But I'm not nearly as confident about that as I am about any of these others. I think pretty much everyone in this category has some sort of chance. They're all former winners. Everyone in this category has won before.
That's pretty cool, which is
impressive. And so, I mean, a lot of times with veteran performers like Alan Arkin and Robert De Niro or Tommy Lee Jones, for that matter, you get a performance where it's maybe not the best they've ever given or the best even that year. But the Academy is like, well, this person has had this long career and they deserve an award to recognize everything. But again, given that all these people have been awarded, I mean, and Alan Arkin just not that long ago got that kind of award for Little Miss Sunshine, where he's had this long career.
Like a Hall of Fame award.
Exactly.
His
so
performance.
I don't know. Honestly.
I'm thinking Robert De Niro might.
I think it's possible. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen, and this isn't necessarily the best example, but supporting roles that could be considered leading roles. And how do they determine which is nominated in which category?
The people submit themselves. And so the studios will work that out and decide. And I mean, I'm sure if the Academy governing body decided that something was really egregiously wrong, they could correct it. But famously, Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor for Silence of the Lambs.
Exactly.
For appearing in, I don't know exactly what it is, but the smallest proportion of the movie for anyone who's ever won Best Lead Actor.
Right.
But that was, again, because a lot of it has to do with level of fame and things like that, and because the studio decided they wanted to push him in that category.
There's no accounting for screen time, number of lines recited, or anything like that.
Dame Judi Dench for Shakespeare in Love won Supporting Actress, and she was only in the movie 4 minutes or something like that.
Something like that.
It was something completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, and for that, obviously, there's no smaller award than supporting. So pretty much anyone who's in the movie for any amount of time can be considered a supporting player.
But when I think back, when you think about Silence of the Lambs, obviously you only think about the first thing that comes to your mind is Anthony Hopkins.
And right.
when you mention that, it is strange to think about the fact that, yeah, I mean, it was mainly her out there. He was behind bars doing practically nothing for most of the film.
Right. And I mean, and I think part of the reason that they probably submitted him in that category is because his image was what people were thinking of with that movie. And so they figured we can get this award for him, essentially. I mean, a lot of that, too, I think comes down to what award is this person most likely to be able to win sometimes.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Give the best chance of winning the award. What are the big omissions in your head?
I mean, well, we talked about Ben Affleck certainly,
obviously.
from Best Director. Off the top of my head, Marion Cotillard from Rust and Bone for Best Actress, who was Golden Globe nominated and got a lot of early buzz. That was kind of a surprise, and who I think is great in that movie. John Hawkes from The Sessions, who is so much better to me than Helen Hunt, who was nominated. To me, that was my favorite best male performance this year. I thought he was really, really excellent. And so to nominate her without him, I think is kind of...
Yeah, to me, he was the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I hate Helen Hunt. So
she bugs me too. She bugs me.
I like that movie a lot, but I felt like I liked it in spite of her. So yeah, those are off the top of my head. I'm sure there are others that I'm also not thinking of. Because they're not here on the list that's sitting in front of me.
A first time host.
Yes.
Which I'm really excited about because I have to say one of my favorite movies of the year, Ted.
And I am not excited at all. This is why I would rather not watch this year because Seth MacFarlane is hosting.
He is so, I mean, come on, you gotta admit he's talented.
He's not a superstar quality person.
Yeah, that's another thing.
That's the thing.
Yes,
I mean, he doesn't generate, you know.
It was an interesting choice, definitely.
He's a great host for Saturday Night Live and was.
Yeah.
He's great for that.
I mean, that is true regardless of whether you like him or not. He's certainly not as well known for himself as most hosts are. I mean, people, even if they know Family Guy or they know Ted, a lot of people might not know who he is.
Yeah, right.
But no, I don't. I think he's a lazy hack comedy-wise, and he is really smarmy as a screen presence.
I'm going to disagree.
Way too enamored of his singing.
Okay. Well, maybe
that
could be
a high quality entertainer.
It's going to be amazing. Well, at least it's not going to be Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
That was terrible. That was certainly terrible.
That was the worst idea.
I got all kinds of thoughts about Franco's performance.
But I have to say that I believe, and granted, because I love him, I believe that Hugh Jackman was an incredible host.
Jackman was a great host.
Jackman was good, yeah. He was
fun to watch.
Well,
obviously he can't host again because he's nominated in an incredible performance that Josh Bell and I do not agree with.
My favorite Oscar host moment was actually Chevy Chase, oddly enough, when he came out and he said, "Good evening, Hollywood phonies."
Yeah.
That was his first line, and I thought it set the table really well.
I thought Tina Fey and Amy Poehler killed it at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, the thing about the Golden Globes, though, is there's a lot more freedom.
Yeah, and a lot of drinking.
And
a lot
that
of kind
of stuff.
On, yeah.
And it's okay to be drunk.
And regardless of who hosts the Oscars, I mean, people in the past who've hosted like Jon Stewart or Chris Rock or even Steve Martin, who I think are really funny, talented people, they're so hamstrung by the requirements of the show, and the jokes go through a million vetting processes before they actually get approved to appear on the show, that even people who have a lot of personality get kind of neutered. And I think that may very well happen with Seth MacFarlane as well, whether you
That'll
like him or not.
That'll be interesting to see,
yeah. Well, he did say, "I'm sure this is the only time that I'm going to be doing this, so I better make the most of it." Like, he actually said, he's like, "This seems like a one-offer."
Right,
that's what he said.
Right.
He goes, it's a one-offer.
There's nowhere to go but down.
Maybe he'll go out and kind of be bold and go off script and whatever, and at least that'll be interesting to see, like
pull
Ricky
Gervais
or something.
Yeah. That's the best example.
Taylor Swift, stay away from Michael J. Fox's son. That was a great line.
All right, with that, we got to wrap it up. Thanks once more, Josh Bell of Josh Bell Hates Everything. One of my favorite journalists, one of the great reviewers of anything in our city, and he is a great guest for us. We'll see you again here real soon.
Sounds good.